The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 12th, 2022.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do. Because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Boy, I'm really excited. We had some wonderful rain this weekend, and it was really nice to kind of hunker up and have hot chocolate and all that good stuff. Anyway, I have a very special guest that's joining me on the phone this morning, Mary Norman, who's calling in. I'm going to be calling her, and Eugene Oregon, who's an activist and also the producer and host of the radio show Voices for Social Justice. I'm really excited about the conversation we're having. You know, Christmas is just around the corner. And, you know, we are going to be in conversation about two of the most reverend women in Christianity, and that's Mary, Mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene, a disciple of Jesus. I'm excited about this show, and the goal is to set some clarity on some of these women, who they are, and how they impacted women and religion, and also how they're actually impacting women today, how revered they are. And, you know, when thinking about Christmas, you know, it's just around the corner. It happens on the 25th of December. And, you know, we're celebrating the birth of the Prince of Peace, and who had two powerful women in his life. Like I said, Mary, his mother, and Mary Magdalena, one of his followers and disciples. And there's a lot of confusion over these two. And what's also interesting is today, December 12th, is the day of the Virgin of Guadalupe, is celebrated on December 12th every year. The day has been declared a national holiday in Mexico. Devotees honor this day when the Virgin made an appearance to a young man on this day in 1531. My goodness, that's a long time ago. Even though it is a national holiday, most companies and organizations, they don't have the day off, but they also, what they do is they organize masses and feast for their employees. And that happens down in Mexico. And I know they celebrated here in Northern California also. So that's a lot. There's going to be a lot to think about. And also, you know, one of the things that happened this weekend that was very exciting, I wanted to do a shout out. We had a wonderful Christmas party at KBBF. I want to thank everybody that came. Sorry, Ken and I could not come. Ken was at the Emerald Cup. How was the Emerald Cup, Ken?
I had a high time.
High time. You're funny. Anyway, really had an opportunity, and I celebrated with the North Bay Black Chamber. We had a trivia night, and I'll tell you something, folks. Participating in a trivia night really lets you know how little that you know about so many, many, many things. And I was amazed at how the young people in the group, how many things they knew. And I just sat there, all these questions. I knew one. I answered one question, and that was, what does the meaning of CEO, that's chief executive officer? I knew that one, but I didn't know. I couldn't believe it. And listen, wishing everybody happy holidays. And, you know, I've been reading in the paper, you know, it seems like it's flooded. Oh, retail is doing poor. Retail's doing poor. You know, Christmas is not about just buying gifts. You know, Christmas is celebrating the idea of the Prince of Peace being born, that we're supposed to have peace on earth and goodwill to all. And what happened? We're still warring. We've got the war in Ukraine. You know, we've got all kinds of different things going on. What's happening in Israel with the Palestinians. And just on and on we can go. There is no peace on this earth. And we need to start thinking about that. We need to start looking at what we are doing to create peace. It seems like we're more our consciousness is more focused on war and terrorism and conflict rather than negotiation and coming together and working together as a human species. It's just amazing. And that's why that I try to do the the segment on Our History is Our Strength, because it lets us know what has happened in the past and whose shoulders we're standing on and where did they get their courage. I mean, right now we have a lot more opportunities than they did, say, in 1531. You know, when there was a lot of superstition and a lot of control. We have less control now. It seems like people are speaking out more and more. I was thinking about what happened in China, how they protested about the restrictions they had because of the COVID and how it was impacting the whole culture and how people came out in the streets. And even in a communist government, they had to make changes when the people came out. So it's very important that we recognize that. And it's so interesting because the first thing in our Constitution says, we the people. That means the people have the power. And the more of us that come out, the more of us that speak out, the better chance we have perhaps to have peace on earth and goodwill to all. I mean, myself, I'm a great-grandmother, and I look at my two great-grandchildren, two little girls. They're just so adorable, you know, and I'm sure everybody can relate to how adorable children are. And I think to myself, if we don't start looking at ways to the path to peace, if we don't start looking at that and start understanding some of the myths that we live under and why these myths are so important and what they're trying to bring us to, you know, trying to bring us to peace, to equality, to our brothers and sisters kind of attitude. So there's a lot to think about. And one last thing I want to say is that I don't consider myself a Christian. I don't consider myself anything other than a spiritual person, a person that believes in a higher power. I believe in the Creator. I believe there's some magical mystery that's turning all the things on this planet. I mean, I watch tomatoes grow. I watch roses bloom. You know, I watch babies be born. You know, that song, you know, every time I see a newborn baby cry, you know, or hear a baby cry, you know, it just reminds you of the great mystery that we live under. And hopefully this show is going to bring, you know, a little bit of conversation, a little bit of enlightenment, a little bit of debate, hopefully. Well, like we do every Monday, we do a segment called Our History is Our Strength. And December 14th, 1961, let's see, today's December 12th, so that's 2 days in 1961, the President's Commission on the Status of Women is established to examine discrimination against women and ways to eliminate it. You know, we actually in Sonoma County and many of the counties actually still have a commission on the status of women. And by the way, congratulations to Victoria Fleming, who won a very, very hard race for District 3 here in Sonoma County. And she won by, I think, a little over 200 votes. But boy, what a struggle it was. But there she is, a woman, our second term. So congratulations. And how she evolved in her own political career. The first step she made was she was on the Commission on the Status of Women. And it's amazing what it taught her. And then it encouraged her to go to the next level to run for city council. So these organizations are very, very important. Another thing that happened on December 14th, 1985, this name is so funny to me. Wilma Mankiller is sworn in as the principal chief of the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma, the first woman in modern history to lead a major Native American tribe. Amazing, amazing. And then on December 17th, 1993, Judith Rodin is named president of the University of Pennsylvania, the first woman to head an Ivy League institution. The first woman. Boy, oh boy, that's amazing. It took us from 1920 when we got to vote till 1993 to finally have a woman in charge of the University of Pennsylvania. Actually, the first woman to lead an Ivy League institution. Just amazing what some of these women have accomplished. Well, another thing, we got some happy birthdays here that are very, very interesting. You know, I look at some of these women. Here, this woman was born on December 14th, 1897. I mean, we didn't even have the vote then. was Margaret Chase Smith. She was the first woman elected to both houses of Congress. She was a Republican from Maine, serving 8 years in the House of Representatives and 24 years in the Senate. She was the first in the Senate to challenge Senator Joseph McCarthy anti-communist crusade. Can you imagine this woman standing up? She was born in 1897 and made her transition in 1995, standing up against Joseph McCarthy, who so many people were being blacklisted and unfairly treated because of different associations they had during the 20s and 30s when the organizations unions were really on the rise, and I think that some people didn't like how popular unions were getting. They didn't like the strong voice that the workers had, and so here comes this anti-communist issue that was really, really destroyed a lot of people's lives, and here was this woman, Margaret Chase Smith, actually a Republican, and she stood up against what he was doing. What a lot of courage that took. And here we have another person that was born in 1844. Oh, my God, how these women back then, I mean, women had no voice. They had no right. In fact, Ken and I have been studying some aspects of religion, and I didn't realize, but at one time there was a belief that women should not even say one word in the churches. You know, here we are, the ones who give birth, and they silence us. You know, we have the secret of the universe in our bodies. If anything, what God is all about, what the Creator is all about, all they have to do is look at a woman and watch her in 9 months that she creates all of us. There's not one person out there that didn't have a woman that helped them come into the world. I mean, I realize there are some technical advances, but the vast majority of us come through women. So it's just amazing. And another person that was very, very interesting, she was born December 16th, 1844. She made her transition in 1928. And that was Fanny Garrison Villard. She was a suffragist and philanthropist, and she provided financial support for certified milk and wholeness food in diet kitchens. Amazing. Provided funds for Barnard College, Radcliffe College, and Hampton Institute. Supported peace and women's suffrage with street speeches and parades, and collaborated with the Women's Peace Party. Well, that's interesting. I didn't even know there was a Women's Peace Party. So I looked up and I thought, what's going on here? Well, I looked it up, and let me give you a little bit of piece of history. You know, I wonder, you know, I've often wondered if it might not be a good idea to have a Women's Peace Party. Not that necessarily that we're going to be a party where you know, like a Democrat and a Republican or the Green Party, not that kind, but a party where we come together and we evaluate all the candidates that are running for president and some of these specific offices. Because you have to recognize, more than anything, the people that we put in place are the people that make the decisions for us that impact our lives, our daily lives. You know, right now, everything's under a threat. You know, the Republicans now have a little bit of control in Congress. Now they want to do some away with Social Security. They want to put this one, you know, they want to impeach Joe Biden. I mean, come on. We have so many things to work on. And I'm imagining if there was a Women's Peace Party that evaluated and gave some sort of idea of who they believe would be a strong candidate and who would work for the future of our children. Because our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. And what we invest in them today is what they're going to create for us tomorrow. And it's very, very important. Well, let me tell you a little bit about the Women's Peace Party. I'm going to read this. It was an American organization that was established as a result of a three-day peace meeting organized by Jane Addams, I guess that was the president's wife, and other feminists in response to the beginning of World War I in Europe in 1914. They were very much against it. The conference held in January 1915 in Washington, D.C., brought together women from diverse organizations who unanimously agreed on most issues under discussion, including the call for limitation of arms, a call for limitation of arms. I mean, we're trying to get some sort of limitation, some sort of gun control that we can't even get into place. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Then they had mediation of the European conflict and the removal of the economic causes of war. The peace and suffrage movements were definitely united when a plank calling for the vote for women was successfully added to the party platform. So that was the Women's Peace Party. Of course, it disbanded after a while, but, you know, it's just amazing. It's just amazing what a group of women can do once they get their put their heads together. And then one last birthday, which is December 16th, 1901, and she made her transition in 1978. That's Margaret Mead, the renowned cultural anthropologist, author, lecturer, and famous for the quote. Now, just listen to this, because I have seen this over and over and over again in my lifetime. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. I mean, when you start thinking about it, you know, you start thinking of the women's suffrage movement, the work that went to pushing to get the vote. I mean, this was started with a very small group of people and expanded till eventually, well, it took us 70 years, but at least we got it. And, you know, we're not given the vote. We earned the vote. We fought for the vote. It wasn't given to us. We made it happen. And we have to acknowledge that. It wasn't a favor that was given to us. It was a demand that was made. It was a roar that was so loud you could not ignore it. And historically, we only got the vote by one vote. And that was a mother sending a telegram to her son suggesting that she vote to make sure that women have the vote. So we have come a long way, but we're still vulnerable. They're still trying to take stuff away from us, and they don't want to have things. They want to take things away, and it's very important that we pay attention. Well, that's a lot to think about, but that's what Women's Space is all about. And we're going to take a musical break now. And like I said, we're going to be talking about the Day of the Virgin of Guadalupe, which is celebrated today. We're also going to talk about Mary, Mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalena. And I love this song, Let It Be. I'm going to have it. The one I'm going to do is sung by the Glee cast version. Glee was a television program, I believe. And what's so wonderful about this is that it really lets us know, you know, to let things be. And it was originally done by the Beatles. I believe it was a song that Paul McCartney wrote. And it's just an amazing song. And so we're going to go ahead and play that. And when we're finished with the song, you know, the reason I picked this song is it's perfect for the topic we are covering. And I want to make it clear again, I'm not a religious person. I think of myself as a spiritual person. And in studying metaphysics, I have come to recognize there are many stories about many people who could help us come through the challenges of our times. And these two women are definitely two of them. So let's go ahead. When we return, I will be talking to Mary Norman, who is an activist and producer for Voices for Social Justice. That she produced over 100 shows here in Sonoma County. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play Let It Be, and let's get Mary on the phone.
In times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she for though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see.
There will be an answer, let it be.
Hi there. Welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. Unfortunately, we have a little technical difficulty here. We cannot get Mary on the telephone. We're trying to get our engineers, but we are not getting any dial tone. And so we're going to have to, I'm going to have to do a little improvisation here. For you just joining in, I want to remind my listeners the opinions here expressed are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And unfortunately, we are having some very bad technical difficulty. We cannot get Mary Norman on the telephone. The telephones are not working. We're not getting a dial tone at all. So we're going to do a little improvisation. You know, Christmas is, you know, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And I'd like to make an opening comment here. You know, Christmas is just around the corner. And from my understanding, we are celebrating both the Prince of Peace, who had two powerful women in his life, Mary, his mother, and Mary Magdalene, one of the followers and disciples. And there's a lot of confusion about them. And I just thought it would be a very interesting to explore them. But unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do that today. So we're going to have to take a little turn on how we're going to do the show. And a reminder, today is December 12th. It's the day of the Virgin of Guadalupe. It's celebrated on December 12th every year. The day has been declared a national holiday in Mexico. Devotees honor the day when Virgin Mary made an appearance to a young man on this day in 1530. Even though it's a national holiday, most companies and organizations organize masses and feasts for their employees. And then on this day, people from all parts of Mexico make their way to Mexico's religious center at the Basilica of the Virgin of Guadalupe, located in Villa de Guadalupe Hidalgo. This is a northern neighborhood in Mexico City, where they celebrate the Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe with a mass ceremony and a fair in her honor. So it is really quite a big deal, and we're trying to work with the phones and see if we can get Mary on the phone, but it doesn't seem to be happening. So what I thought I would do is I would do a little bit of a commentary here, and that is to let folks know that here we are in the studio, and I'm going to read a poem that I think is very, very interesting, trying to think about, what is going on in the world today. We have wars, we have all kinds of confusion going on. And in reality, we want peace. We really want peace. So I'm gonna read this little poem that I wrote. It's called Sweet Peace. It has been said, it is our nature to war. I wonder if this is true, or if it is an idea we can undo. Nature is the mystery we are all part of. Nature can be unpredictable and at times out of control. Yet nature can be shifted and rearranged. If to war is our nature, why can't we shift and rearrange and bring about change? Perhaps plant new seeds in our garden called the brain. I love that one. Perhaps plant new seeds in our garden called the brain. Like planting seeds of love to replace seeds of hate. Like planting seeds of compassion and empathy to replace seeds of indifference and apathy. Like planting seeds of faith to replace seeds of fear. All growing and knowing the seeds of peace and justice are slowly sowing. Suddenly the flower of change appears, causing the thought of all war disappears. Our nature has changed. Our thoughts and ideas have been rearranged. Peace begins to sprout. Sweet peace, my soul feels at ease. Sweet peace, my belly is full and my feet are warm. Sweet peace, I can leave my heart and open and door open. I love this. Sweet peace, I can leave my heart and door open. Well, it's up to you and me and I to see there is no other. There is only we. And we long to live in peace. Sweet peace, how I long for you. Sweet peace, sweet peace, sweet peace. Wow. That gives me a chill when I think about it. It really does. When I think about peace on earth and goodwill to men. Especially coming, close to the Christmas season. And it's really frustrating to me when I watch everybody running around like in a frenzy. They have this Black Friday and people are beating up each other to get these special deals. And I say to myself, wait a minute, that's not what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about family. It's about coming together. It's about the hope of peace. It's about the dream of peace. It feels like that's been something on our minds forever and ever. Well, I want to remind folks that you're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And we had a little bit of technical difficulty today, so we were unable to get Mary Norman on the phone. I hope that we can perhaps do the interview next week. I'm looking forward to contacting her and really apologizing. I feel, everything, when you're doing live radio, it's very interesting. So I thought I would read another poem before we have I'm going to play a really nice piece called Let There Be Peace on Earth. I want to read another poem for you. And, you know, I have a poetry book called G-Ma Speaks. My grandchildren call me G-Ma. And so what I feel, I said, okay, if I'm G-Ma, then I'm G-Ma. And I have this poetry book called G-Ma Speaks. You can go on www.womenspaces.com and you can see several of my poems. It's really very, very interesting, you know, being a poet, being a radio host and all these different things we do. So here I'm going to read this poem now called Journey With Me, and then we're going to play a song called Let There Be Peace on Earth, which I one of my favorite songs. I just love that song. So let me read this poem with you. It's called Journey With Me. Don't expect, be surprised. Live life one breath at a time. Slow down, be unafraid. No matter what you have or who you are, you will still face death. Prepare, laugh and cry, eat and sleep, dance fast, dance slowly, dance like you did know, dance like you don't know, but dance. Be in the moment. The moment stops sometimes. Rest and trust. Trust yourself. Trust others. Know yourself. Know others. Be yourself. Let others be themselves. These are simple truths. Love. Love the food you eat. Love the water you drink. I love this line. Take time to love and appreciate your kitchen sink. You know, we don't realize how we can just go to our kitchen sink and turn on the water, and there it is. There are people that walk miles to get water. Love simple pleasures each and every day. Love laughter. Love rain. Learn to love and bless the pain. With eyes wide open, seeing and disbelieving, yet believing it will all come to pass. Learn to need, learn to give, learn to receive. We are all of our Mother Earth. We are all from the One. Oh, that's a real emotional poem for me. Journey With Me. It really is. It's a very, very emotional poem for me. It really is. Well, I'm going to read one last poem, and that's a song, a little poem that I wrote for my little dog, Freya, who I had for 17 years. And it was really, I'll tell you a story, what happened, how I ended up writing this poem. I was a corporate sales manager at the time, and I had many, many, many European clients. And I was waiting for a purchase order. It was something like $200,000, so it was a big order. And I believe it was from Sweden. And I was like, oh, wow, you know, I'm waiting for this purchase order, and it's not coming in. And, you know, with the time frames and everything, I had to wait to be able to call the woman that was my contact person. And I call her up, and she starts crying because she's getting a divorce. I couldn't believe it. Her husband was leaving her for another woman. And I'm just sitting here. I'm trying to get the, you know, the purchase order. And now I'm going through all this emotional stuff. And so we hung up, and she's promised me she's going to send the purchase order. And so I had a picture of my dog Freya in front of me. I used to have a picture, all these pictures. It was my dog Freya. There was my grandchildren. I'm looking at the dog, and all of a sudden, this poem comes to me, and it's called The World According to Freya, as told to Elaine B. Holtz. That's me. In other words, I heard the dog talking to me. I know it sounds a little crazy. I know there are a lot of dog owners out there that can say the same thing. But here's the message she gave me. Bark when you need to bark. Lick a friend at least once a day. Cuddle up on a lap with someone that you know will pet you. Get a treat whenever you can. Begging is okay. Nap as often as possible on a soft pillow. Don't take anything seriously. It all passes anyway. Now think about that. Bark when you need to bark. In other words, speak out when you need to speak out. Lick a friend at least once a day. In other words, be affectionate. Don't be afraid to not be affectionate. And then cuddle up on a lap with someone that you know will pet you. In other words, get some of your needs met. very important. Get a treat whenever you can. Ladies, it's okay to eat chocolate. Begging is okay. Well, begging, you know, I think the dogs beg, but I would like to kind of soften that a little bit for human beings. Asking is okay. Nap as often as possible in a small pillow. Excuse me. One of the things that Ken is teaching me is the importance of having a nap every day. And don't take everything seriously. It all passes anyway. And guess what? We all pass. So that's a lot to think about in this little bitty poem. So, Paul, Ken, let's take a little musical break now. Can we take a little bit of a musical break? And we're going to play the song, Let There Be Peace on Earth. And when we come back, I will continue talking and just reciting a few poems and just giving a few opinions. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play Let There Be Peace on Earth. And I believe, who is that sung by?
Melinda Carroll.
By Melinda Carroll. Let There Be Peace on Earth.
Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be.
I love that song, Let There Be Peace on Earth, and Let It Begin With Me, of course. Well, you know something? I have a little bit of a welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm telling you something. We had a little bit of technical difficulty. We figured it out. They're repairing the phones here around the station, and what ended up happening is, hey, we lost the phone, we lost the connection, and I'm really sorry about that. And what's going to happen is hopefully we will get Mary Norman on next week. You know, life happens. We're live here in the studio, and that's the way it is. That's the way it is. Well, I have a bulletin here. This is a little bit of a notice here. Let me see. Is this what I read? This right here?
It's part in English.
Okay, right here. This is a little news. Oh, this is very interesting. Amazon, one of the richest corporations in the world, is being sued by the Attorney General of Washington, D.C., for stealing the money from customers who thought they were tipping their delivery drivers? Oh, my goodness. This lawsuit is related to one from last year in which Amazon was ordered to pay over $60 million to the Federal Trade Commission for stealing money from its drivers in 2015 when the company introduced its Flex program for faster deliveries. It told its customers that 100% of their tips went directly to the delivery drivers. It also advertised that drivers would be paid $18 to $25 an hour. Soon after, the Flex app was changed so that the drivers could no longer see how much each individual customer was tipping them. And Amazon began using a large portion of the tips to pay the drivers' wages. The change in policy was done in secret. The $60 million that Amazon's paid was then distributed to the drivers who were affected. The new lawsuit aims also to compensate the customers who were lied to about their tips, where their tips were going.
This was produced by KBBF.
Yeah, and this was produced by KBBF. This is one of, we're starting a new bilingual radio news that comes on every once in a while on this station. And this is a really good example. You know, companies are so important. Amazon is important. It delivers things because why do they have to cheat their employees? Why do we have to do things like this? Why do we have to go to the courts to sue people to make them be decent human beings and do what's right? It just doesn't make sense to me. It really doesn't. It really doesn't. Well, that's pretty good.
There's another one.
No, that looks like it's pretty far out. Okay. I'm going to read another poem, and then why don't we pick a song out of our library, Ken? We have a library full of songs, and I'm going to read this. You pick one and let me know what you want. And also, I want to remind my listeners, I didn't say that everything that's said on the show. Let me just read my little disclaimer here. I'm telling you, once everything goes off, I go off. For you just joining, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. You know, to be honest with you, I'm having a good time here reading my poetry and just giving my little opinions here and there. This poem is called You Might Say I'm a Dreamer. And, you know, this is a real interesting poem to me. I wrote it one night. I remember I was just, my little girl, my daughter was about 7 years old at the time. And she was sleeping, and I looked at that. I looked at her, and I thought, oh, my goodness, when will we ever have peace on earth? So here we go. You might say that I'm a dreamer. Well, last night I had a beautiful dream about life and all it could mean. I dreamt how beautiful it was to live when the entire world learned how to give. Humankind at last learned how to use their highest level of thought, making wars no longer. Peace was taught. Prejudice. I'm going to change that. Racism was a thing in the past. All humankind became equal at last. The cry of hunger and pain were no longer heard every day. Humans learned to give to help others along the way. How beautiful it was to live. How great to give. Peace at last. War and hate in the dim past. Fear and mistrust were unheard of. All humans knew were trust and love. I love that line. fear and mistrust were unheard of. All humans knew were trust and love. Trust and love. Beautiful. With a start, I woke up from this beautiful dream. I opened my ears and eyes, hearing and seeing all of humankind cries. Fear, tears of sorrow fell down my face as I vowed to help change this place. Very interesting how I vowed to help change this place. You know, the idea of Christmas was to make a change, was to bring peace on earth, was to stop warring. And we've just never got there. You know, we're still going on and on. So it's an amazing poem. An amazing poem when I think, and I wrote it. Well, Ken, what song did you pick, my friend?
I picked A Prayer of St. Francis because I like being an instrument of peace.
We're going to play The Prayer of St. Francis, an instrument of peace. And I love this song. Listen to the words. You know, here it is time. It's Christmas time. It's the holiday time. You know, we're preparing to be together with our families. Ask yourself, how can I, as you listen to this song, ask yourself, how can I, as an individual, be an instrument of peace? Imagine if we all thought that way. Each person, like we said about what Margaret Mead said, never underestimate the power of a group of people. That's the only way change is made, is when the people come together with love and compassion and purpose. Big change made. So let's go ahead. The Prayer of St. Francis. And this always chokes me up. It makes me cry, Ken. Instrument of your peace, if that isn't amazing. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And for this show, we're doing a lot of improvisation, a lot of poetry reading, and just having a wonderful time here, you know, putting the show on and getting the word out to our listeners. And I just love that song, you know, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. You know, And I have to say one thing. When I talked about my dog, Freya, you know, and, you know, it's okay to bark and all that stuff, I realized now I have a dog, Rosie, and I think she would be left out if I didn't write what I wrote about her. One day I was looking, I was having a real hard time, and I thought to myself, God, how am I going to get out of this one? I feel like sometimes the Perils of Pauline used to be an old movies they used to do, and sometimes I feel like I'm Pauline, like, how am I going to get out of this situation? And I looked at Rosie, and this is what I heard. When life gives you a lemon, make lemonade, and it's okay to put a little honey in the mixture. So it was kind of my answer, you know. When life gives you a lemon, make lemonade. In other words, try to make the best of what's going on. And then add a little honey, you know, find a way to make it sweet. You know, and we're going to play another song. I love the song Imagine. And I think it's also the Glee group.
No, Etta James.
Oh, Etta James. Oh, I just love Etta James. I mean, she's amazing. But before we go on that song, I want to read another little poem. I wrote a poem for my friend Debbie Meager, her grandson, Max. He's 5 years old. And one day she was talking to me, and I says, you know, look at these kids, you know. And she says, yeah, I know. All Max wants to do is just play with kids. So I wrote this poem for Max. Come play with me. I do not care if you come from afar or what color you are. Come play with me. Come play with me. Come play. Well, I want to change that from come play, we're going to play imagine. I want you to imagine with me. And not only imagine with me, but ask yourself, how can I be a peacemaker? How can I contribute? How can I speak out? How can I become involved? You know, the whole purpose of Women's Spaces is to show the history of women and what we have done and whose shoulders we are standing on. And we bring the men along. I mean, I love that I have Ken by my side at every show. You know, we produce it together. We talk about it together. Right now, we had a glitch, and we come together as a team, and it's very, very powerful when it happens. So let's think about it. So let's go ahead. We're going to play Imagine, sung by Etta James. And when we come back, we will do some, just a few light conversations, and then we'll say goodbye.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. No religion to. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Oh, oh yeah. You may say I'm a dreamer, the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. Oh, oh, oh. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. And I hope someday you'll join us and the world.
Etta, you are my favorite. I'll tell you something. And the way they talk about the world will live as one is the same thing how I this poem that I wrote, Journey With Me. We are all of our Mother Earth. We are all from the one. You know, we're brothers and sisters. You know, we might have different colors, different religions, different ways of speaking, different languages, but we're all part of the human family. And we must learn to recognize that. Well, folks, that's it for our show. You know, it's just been wonderful being able to read my poetry. I hope you enjoyed it. You know, email me at Elaine B. Holtz, E-L-A-I-N-E, middle initial B, H-O-L-T-Z, at Gmail. Let me know if you enjoyed this show. Let me know if it had an impact on you. I mean, it was totally improvised, and I have to thank my engineer, Ken Norton, for being here with me and for picking out the songs and doing what we needed to do to get the show going. And as I do at the end of every show, I remind my listeners, our children are the future, and we must never, never lose sight of that. And also a reminder that the show will air again this evening at 11 o'clock, from 11 o'clock to 12 a.m. And, you know, I get to listen to my own show, and I'm really looking forward to listening to this one. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holtz, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. And a reminder, you know, it's Christmas season, and we're celebrating the Prince of Peace. See what you can do for peace. Looking forward to seeing you the next time.
You do, because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 12th, 2022.